exclamation points on every good page to the point where the book is almost unreadable. By writing all over the pages, I transform the author's work into my book, and mine alone. Conduct your own reading dig. Take an author or a subject and start with the most recent text. Then work your way backwards to progressively older texts. If it's a novelist's body of work, you'll learn just as much about the author's recurring themes, philosophy, and style. But trust me, you'll see them from an entirely different point of view. If it's a particular subject, go back to the writer's original sources. The distance you've traveled with the writer and how the idea has changed will intrigue you. But you will get something more precious as well. The original idea, in its ancient and most unadulterated form. P.S. I have two other reading habits. I read fat, and I'm addicted to the Oxford English Dictionary. Reading fat means not only reading, say, a novel, but reading related texts surrounding the novel, which may be books by the writer's contemporaries, or commentaries on the novel, or a biography of the writer, or the writer's letters. I admit, it's a compulsive way to read, but you mine more out of every book. You can listen fat and see fat, too. If I'm listening to a Mozart quintet, I don't appreciate the piece as well as I do when I also listen to the works Mozart composed immediately before and after. Likewise with a painting. I like to see what the artist produced before and after the work at hand. As for the OED, digging into the source of a word's meaning is a great way to scratch for core ideas. Nothing in the English language fascinates me more than the multitude of definitions for words I think I know. Consulting the OED sitting on its table in my work area reminds me that I only know a fraction of what I think I know. Before I write about an idea, such as ritual, I'll look it up in the OED. But it's not enough to digest the word's 16 definitions. Reading fat means I also look up the words immediately before and after ritual. You never know, the next good idea may be hiding there. 13. A dozen eggs. The exercise I call egg is a great way to start a creative session. It couldn't be simpler. I sit on the floor, bring my knees to my chest, curl my head down to my knees, and try to make myself as small as I can. In this minimalized, shrunken state, I have nowhere else to go. I cannot become smaller. I can only expand and grow. And so it becomes a ritual of discovery for me. If I lift my head and straighten my back, I become tall egg. If I stretch out my legs and point my toes, forming an L shape, I become jackknife egg. I stick with it as long as it remains interesting, sometimes going through as many as 100 positions. I've been doing this daily for years, and I usually find something new in the process. I remember one time sitting in a ball and twisting slightly, so I inched forward. Eureka! I discovered walking egg, which led to walking backwards egg and a dozen other new positions. I live for those moments. The discovery delights me and lifts my spirit and keeps me coming back to egg. Naming the positions is optional, a mental game that I consider a perk of the job. I like the egg routine because it is so basic. You don't need to know anything or be in particularly good shape to do it, although some stretching is a definite help. The only requirement is a commitment to the process. The starting egg position is your home base, and you are setting out to see how far you can travel from home. It may remind you of yoga, but there's a difference. In yoga or any other prescribed exercise routine, You are following a defined sequence of poses and positions that are good for different parts of the body. That's not what's going on here. There's no instructor or manual telling you what to do, no exact purpose to the movements. You're not asking anyone, what do I do next? You're following your impulses, letting your mind and body provide you with the answers. I also like egg because it forces you to think about change. Once you shrink yourself into a fetal ball, you have no choice but to do something expansive. You cannot hold the starting position forever, though you can hold it for as long as you like. Eventually, though, you'll have to do something. Egg is an exercise that teaches you how to accomplish the most difficult task in any creative endeavor. Begin. Egg makes you move. I can't say enough about the connection between body and mind. When you stimulate your body, your brain comes alive in ways you can't simulate in a sedentary position. The brain is an organ tied integrally to all the other systems in the body, and it's affected by blood flow, neural transmission, all the processes you undergo when you put your body through its paces. You're making it work differently, and new directions can result. I recommend you keep a pad and pencil nearby while doing egg for fresh ideas. You probably already know that when you're frustrated with your efforts, it helps to get up and walk around the room. Egg takes the principle and channels it without the frustration. You don't have to be a gymnast or dancer to get something out of egg, but it helps. The more conditioning you bring to it, the farther you can go. I'm a trained dancer. I'm accustomed to the tortures and contortions the body can endure, and I feel that I've seen nearly everything the body can do. Yet when I introduce egg at colleges, the students often come up with egg positions that are new to me. Their fearless young minds and bodies have come up with such novelties as exploded egg, scrambled egg, Humpty Dumpty, egg on the half shell, runny egg, excited and exasperated. Egg will take you to places you've never been. Make it a part of your daily routine. 14. Give yourself a little challenge. George Harrison once decided as a game to write a song based on the first book he saw at his mother's house. Picking one up at random, he opened it and saw the phrase,